a lot of things going on. Still have a lot of unrest. Still have a lot of COVID-19. Still have a lot of family issues. Just outside now, we're hearing the fire trucks and the police cars going down the street. Beloved, life does not stand still. And we need to understand that that time is moving on. And I want to talk about something very important to us. And my theme for today is, right now is not the time to give up. Right now is not the time to throw in the towel. Right now is not to think that there is no hope. But right now is time for the church to get busy and do what the Lord called us to do. There's a story that goes out like this, and I love this story. There was a man, and it reminded me of myself, who was out shoveling his walk after a great snowstorm. And y'all remember that big one we had? And I went out there with my little shovel, and I'm out there. And that's a true story. Of course, two young men came by, and they asked me, could they help? And I told them, no, I don't need their help. And the same thing actually happened in this story. And I was reading, I saw myself there, because there was two young boys walking with shovels in their hand. And they walked up to the gentleman, and they said, sir, would you like us to shovel your walkway in your driveway? And the man, very politely, he told them, he says, no, thank you. You know, I really appreciate you asking, but I decided to do it myself. And the two young boys, they kind of smile, and they said, that's okay, sir. We get our best business and most of our business when people are halfway done. They had caught up on something that sometimes we forget, is that sometimes the task at hand is a little more than we can bear. And we jump out there and we try to do it on our own. And sometimes what happens is we begin to get weary in well-doing. Amen. Because we don't accept the help that the Lord had sent by.
That's right.
I believe with all my might is that that day, just like in this story, that the Lord sent them two boys by my house. Because I didn't finish. Because that was that big snowstorm where, you know, it covered the cars and everything. But the Lord was gracious to me that I had a friend by the name of David Ray. We had a brother who had a snowblower. And I called him up after I couldn't finish, and he came by and he got me out. But every now and then, we need to understand God sending folk by.
Yeah.
Saying you just need a little bit of help. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't give up the fight. Because we don't know what time it really is. See, it's always interesting that we like to start stuff. Don't we?
We
love to start up stuff. I mean, I got stuff at home, my wife will tell you. I got projects that have been there for years. It's exciting starting stuff. You know, I'm like Tim the Tool Man. You know, I got my toolbox and stuff, and I get it out, and I'll go start on something, and things don't go right. You know, you can't get this one board off, you know, and you don't have enough WD-40 or enough strip to keep going on. And so every day, and you say, I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to stop, so take a break from this, but I'm going to come back and get it. But beloved, what happens is sometimes you take a break too long.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. It just don't get done. Until Gloria finally calls somebody and we pay them, they go and get it fixed. But other than that, it just stays there. Because we get weary, you know, and it's hard. And I know if I get back on there, that screw's still not gonna come off. You know what I mean? It's gonna take up too much of a time. And I keep telling you, God, I got less time on tomorrow than I had on yesterday. Somebody knew what I'm talking about. But I'm not trying to waste my time dealing with stuff that I know know somebody else got a better expertise that they can do better than I can. But what happens is that as time goes on, we tend to lose that enthusiasm that we had when we first started. It's not as exciting as it used to be. And so all of a sudden, something else catches our attention, and we decide to what? Devote our time to that which now is more exciting than it was on the thing in which we started. And I believe Paul kind of addresses that in a sense where he's talking to the people in Galatia. And he wanted them to understand that there was work to be done. And sometimes when you're trying to do work in your own strength and you're not doing it the way God wants you to do it, and it doesn't work out, you tend to lose heart and you might just stop. So if you have your Bibles and you turn to Galatians 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, but I'm only really going to lift up verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, to give us a flavor of what we want to be looking at today. I'm reading from the ESV this morning. Recently, I've been doing a lot in the King James and the New King James, but I'm going back to the ESV today. And it says this, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good or in well-doing. For in due season, in the right time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up, if we do not faint, if we do not stop. So then, as we have opportunity, which is time, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Amen. Those who are up in the church house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, just want to use for a subject. Don't give up. It was befitting that Lynette played the song, and Shane is here too. Y'all just couldn't see him because he's no longer up on the pedestal. He's down here on the platform with us. But they played the song, "Lord, help me to what?
To hold out
until my change is come." Amen? I say that is because I know right now some of us are feeling weary. I mean, you can't stay up in the house. Oh, you can't play enough Monopoly with your family. Come on now. Can't eat enough bologna sandwiches and you just can't find enough telework to tell somebody you're working. You just can't find enough of those things to do for 2 months. And I think the Lord is telling us to get up outside and go out there and help somebody to see Jesus. I was pouring over this text, and the part that I want to lift up is the part about us doing good. And I always wanted to understand, what is this doing good? And the more I got into the text, the doing good is acts of love. It's all about acts of love. And I get that from verse 2, where it says, bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, it's all about love. It's about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's about love. It's acts of love. And it's all about that in this context that Paul is writing to the Galatian church. And basically what happened was is the Judaizers had gotten to the Galatian church after Paul had left and got them folks to believe that they had to do something other than and live by, to be justified by faith alone. It's all about faith alone. And he wanted them to understand that. So for the first five chapters, he was dealing with that to get them to the point where they understood there's only one gospel. And that gospel is in Christ, and Christ is the only one who you can be saved in and by, and it's your faith in him. So this is not a works righteousness. Amen. Got to make sure that's clear. But it is a work that God wants us to do in your salvation. Amen. Not for your salvation. But it's in your salvation that there's a desire inside of you, and God places that you, and with the Holy Spirit, that I want to do some good. I want to show folks the love of Jesus Christ. Because while I was still yet in my sin, what? Christ died for me. And then he brought me out of darkness and placed me into a what? A marvelous light. And in that light, I want to let it so shine that people might see my good works. But what? Glorify my Father. It's all about works. It's about somebody doing something for somebody else. But making sure that Jesus gets the credit. Amen.
Amen.
Very famous Bible teacher. His name is Warren Wiersbe. He put all this into context for us. And I'm going to actually use his words for this. He says, in this text, God gives us a precept. God gives us a principle, but then God gives us a promise. And he said the precept is this, is that we ought to be about sharing. Amen? He said we ought to be about sharing. And what people say, but I don't have anything to give. When you say that, you nullify the grace of God in your life. Because you might not have something materialistic to give someone, but if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you got something to share with everybody. And God wants you to understand that. And so Paul uses a precept here in verse 6. I'm going to take 6 and come all the way down. I was going to walk through 1 all the way down, but I'm going to take 6 because my time is limited. I kind of like these abbreviated services. So I'm going to take verse 6 and walk down to verse 9. And verse 6 says this. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. That's the precept. The precept is in that word share. And some of us don't, we recognize that word, but usually it's in another, word, and it's called a fellowship. That word share is the same word koinonia that Paul uses in fellowship. In what? Sharing. Remember in the book of Acts when he said they fellowshiped together, they were sharing, they went from house to house, and they shared the bread and all of that, and they did not what? Think that anything they had belonged to what? Them as themselves, because they believed that all of God's people could share in what they had. And so the precept here is the fact that God is giving us direction. God is giving us literally a commandment. That we ought to share in these types of things. Share with one another. Koinonia, fellowship, working together. And what do we ought to share? The good things, right? He says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And so there's a kind of a give and take there. What he's using there, he used the example of a teacher there. And as the teacher teaches what the spiritual things, those who are being taught have sometimes the material things, and they would in turn share with the what? The one who is teaching the spiritual things. So both of them would what? Share in the goodness of the Lord together. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. And we don't want to isolate it to that point where you can use this text to say that those who teach and preach the word of God should be paid by the word of God. We go to 1 Timothy to clap all those. The part I just want to lift up out of that part is that the sharing part. So now it relates to all of us. Amen. And if God is giving all of us something that we ought to be able to share with one another, where it be the spiritual or the material. Amen. And God has blessed us in that. But what God did was in that, he put us together as a body. So that guess what? He didn't give everyone the same types of things to share. And so what you have to share and what I have to share and what you have to share, when we put it all together, now we have everything that we actually need. And what we do is we share it together. Amen. That's why God said to give the body of Christ. And we need to understand that. And so he said, let the one who is taught, again, the word share all good things with the one who is doing the teaching. So the one who is doing the teaching is giving with the spiritual thing. The one who's being taught has a material thing. And in turn, they would work together so that neither one of them would be in lack of anything. So that whole precept there is the fact that we ought to share those things that God has given us for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
So that's the precept. And then he jumps down and then he talks about the principle. And the principle of this precept is this, is that you ought not be stingy.
Amen.
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 You ought not be stingy. Look at verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. In other words, don't fool yourself. Don't think that God doesn't know what you are or are not doing. Amen. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. For whatever one sows, that will he or she also reap. Verse 8 goes on to say it this way. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will also, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. So you take that, and what he's talking about is the principle here, the fundamental principle here is of what? Of sowing and what? Of reaping. Amen? It's an agricultural principle applied with the metaphorical aspect of the moral and the spiritual realm. And also, like it's almost like what we look at from a scientific standpoint, the cause and effect. Amen? Yeah. That when you do certain things, guess what? Certain things will normally follow. Amen? And since it's an agricultural principle, what he's really talking about here is those in those days, they did a lot of planting. And so he's dealing with what? He's dealing with seeds, and he's dealing with what? Soil. He's dealing with seeds, dealing with soil. So you said you plant something, And the right soil, you do the right thing, guess what? Sooner or later, something might come up. Amen? But here's the thing. He wants us to get out of this principle of reaping and sowing. You're not going to get something different than you sow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
You're not going to mess around and sow something bad and get something good. Amen? In other words, to make it really plain, If I put if I plant some corn over here, I can't expect to get sweet potato. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna come up corn. And so what he wants you to understand is that we will reap that which we sow.
Amen.
And that's basically the principle of it. And 1 Corinthians 9:11, he gives a little more insight. He says that if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much that we reap material things from you? Going back to that part about what? Sharing. Amen? See, the precept is sharing the principles in reaping and sowing. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap what? So he didn't say you sow sparingly, you reap abundantly, because it doesn't work that way. He says that, but if you sow abundantly, guess what? You will reap
abundantly.
abundantly. So what he's saying is that you can't get around this law. Amen. You can't get around this principle that happens out. Is that the in other words, sometimes the more you put in, guess what? The more you get out of. It was like I talked to one of my sisters who helped out on Friday. And she said, Pastor, I was helping him out with the food. She said, but it was hard. She said, it was hard work. She said, but I get a little break, I get back in there, and I start doing it again. And so look, she understood that the more she put, she said, and when I finished, I felt good. And you're supposed to. You know, because what you did was you actually relied on the Lord. You went further than you could have done on your own. And it was the Lord that strengthened you because you were doing the work of the Lord. You weren't doing it for yourself. Principle, you can't reap unless you sow. Amen.
Amen.
You can't. A farmer who has a field and stays in his house and never goes out to plant any seed in that field and expect to get a crop the next season has lost his mind. Amen. Because there's not going to be anything there because he didn't sow anything. And a farmer knows that. But the other thing the farmer knows too is that it takes time. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Farmer knows that it takes time. Farmer has clocked this thing out to after he gets used to it, he realizes if I sow that seed, I can't come back out here tomorrow and expect the plant to come up. This ain't Jack and the Beanstalk. Y'all heard that story. Hey, Jack put it out there one day, went to sleep, woke up the next day, and it was all to the no. See, that ain't real life. You plant that seed, you gotta realize it's gonna take some time. And that's the process that I think sometimes we struggle with, is the time in dealing with this principle. See, time is the indefinite, continued process of the existence of the events in the past, and the present, and the future, regarding the parts of the whole. Did y'all get that? Let me say it again, because I didn't get it, because I had to write it down. But time is the indefinite, continued process or progress of the existence of the events in the past, in the present, and the future regarding the whole. It's the ambiguous measure of space that we think we can waste. You can't waste time. It's that duration in which things happen. And what happens is that when we get in the midst of the situation where we are now and this pandemic and the unrest and all of that, and that's happening in time, and all we see is right now. We see the right now. And we have no control over the time when this will be over with. You understand what I'm saying? And for us to sit back and think that I can actually wait until all of this is done with, and then I can start working again, is a presumption on the time that you think God's going to give you.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that this principle of time that we cannot control is not up to us, it's up to God. And that we have to work while it is still yet what? Day. Because when night comes, no man work. And so in that principle of sowing and reaping, is I'm going to wait and begin to sow when the time is right. It might not ever be right. And so I can only sow now because tomorrow is not promised to me.
Amen.
And I believe that sometimes when we get into a place where we haven't done something in a while, we get used to it. And we think that becomes the norm. And so all of a sudden we think that it's okay. And what happens is that guess what happens if you don't use something in a while? I found this word, and I know y'all already know it, but it's called atrophy. It's called atrophy. Yeah, that's what I said. He can't even, he don't know what the word says. No, but see, I call it a trophy because what happens is is that you think you've already done what you're supposed to do and you got your trophy. But what you got is atrophy, and then the muscles that you used to use are no longer what? Usable, because they stopped working, and all of a sudden you actually think that what you're doing is okay. When God has already told you what to do, and that is good works. Mm-hmm. And we got to get about understanding that. Don't give up. Because what happens is sometimes we just give up because, you know, it's overwhelming, Pastor. I just understand what's going on and I don't know what to do. And you know what? I got these things happening in my house. I got these things going on in the world. I see this on TV. And then we just shut ourselves up. And we just kind of give up and say, look, I'm just going to turn this over to the Lord. No, the Lord said, I told you to take care. He said, that's why I put you there. That's why I gave you being a part of the body, because you are essential and I need you to do what I want you to do. I want you to begin to sow. I want you to begin to sow. I want you to begin to sow while you still yet have the time to sow.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want you to sow to your flesh. I don't want you to do things that's going to puff you up. I don't want you to do things that's going to kind of get you credit, because he says all you're going to reap from that is corruption. I want you to sow to the Spirit, because that'll get eternal life. Now, 2 points on that. The one part of that is dealing with the fact that if it's an individual situation, what he's saying is if you're actually not doing what God told you to do, you might not be what you think you are in Christ. And if you're constantly sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, and you're going to what they call a corruption or a decay or a place where you don't want to go, because you're going to have an eternal suffering. But he said also, from an individual standpoint, if you're living by the Spirit, you can find that in Romans 8:1, and we read that when you get home. In Romans 8:1, it talks about how when you are in the Spirit, you know you're in the Spirit, you're in the things of the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit, and you know that you're in Christ. And you will have eternal life. But here's the other perspective of this as a collective body. When you're talking about sharing, when you're talking about the principle of this thing, is that if you're doing things for yourself and you're not really sowing by the Spirit and you're going by the flesh, the things that you're doing are going to be corrupted and they're not going to be worth anything. But if you're doing it from a collective standpoint and you're sowing within the Spirit of God, guess what? Not only will it mean eternal life for yourself, but also for others. Why? Because they'll hear what you're doing, they'll see what you're doing, and they'll chance to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somebody that you don't even know right now will be able to receive the gospel because you went out and did what God told you to do. You sowed the seed, somebody else watered it, and God gave the increase, and they got saved, and that's eternal life. That's why God says the time is now. He says, don't give up on me now, when guess what? It's dark out there now. There's nothing but gloom and doom out there. People have lost their jobs. People are hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And all of these things are going on. There's unrest with the race situation. There are people who will not get their jobs back even after the pandemic is over with. They don't know where their next stimulus check will come from. All of these things are people that will eventually, when this thing subsides and the landlords get to do what they want to do, and folks are not paying their rent, they're going to get put out. All these things are going to come about. You know what? And we have to be ready for that, because that's when they're going to realize that they can't no longer live in the flesh, and they're going to resort to the Spirit, and they need somebody to show them the way to go. And that is the church of Jesus Christ. And we want to be sowing those seeds now in the lives of people, that they will know who we stand for. Reaping what we sow is a principle, but the promise is in verse 9, which I wanted to get to in our close. It says this, and let us not grow weary in doing well. And here's what I mean by that is, don't have the pity party. What I mean is that you might seem like you're the only one out there doing something right now. That's okay. You might feel like Elijah. When Elijah said, Lord, all the rest of them gone. I'm the only one left. You can't have a pity party right now, because God is saying the work is now. And like my sister said, she said, I was tired. I understand. You know why? Because there's not a lot of volunteers out there right now. Because most of the folk who are volunteering were seniors, and they can't come out. And so now we're out there and we're doing it. And so there's more work to do. There's less people. So you ought to pray that what? That God will send what? more people out into the what? To the vineyard. Amen. He will send more what? People out there so we can harvest the things that we're being sown. And so you're asking, Lord, you're praying that Lord will send workers out into the harvest. We're praying that other brothers and sisters will understand that now is not the time to stop working. It's not the time for us to quit, but it's time for us to what? To get to work, to hold on. And keep doing what the Lord has called. Even if you think you're the only one, don't give up. Don't give up. It's not time. He says, and let us collectively. He didn't say, and let me. He said, but and let us not grow weary. Amen. He said, let us not lose heart. Let us not think that there's no hope out there. As long as we have Christ, we have hope. Let us not grow weary. In other words, let us not get tired. Let us not doing in our own strength. Let us rely on the Lord of doing good. Amen? Good things. Those things that what? Will shine the light on Christ. For in what? In due time, in due season, that time thing comes up again, when the time is right, He says, we will reap the harvest. We will reap that which God has wanted us to have. But he says, only if you don't what? Give up. Only if you don't stop before it's time to stop. Amen? Don't stop. There was a story about Florence Chadwick. Some of y'all might know her back in 1952. Florence Chadwick attempted to cross 26 miles of ocean to swim from the California coastline to the Catalina Islands. She'd been out there swimming for 15 hours. I can't even imagine. 15 hours of swimming. I would have been like rubber. I probably didn't get back the first hour. But she's swimming for 15 hours. And all of a sudden, a fog rolled in. And she could no longer see. And even though her boat was right before her, she decided to keep on going, and she swam for about another hour before she decided to quit. She'd been out there roughly for 16 hours swimming. And I don't know what that does to the muscle. I don't know what that does to the body, but I know that hurts. And there's pain there. And you're tired. And she decided to quit after the 16th hour. And they helped her up into the boat. And when she got into the boat, what do y'all think happened? She found out that she was only 1 mile away from the island. Just one more. You've been out there for 16 hours. And just one more hour, she would have reached the destination. She would have accomplished the task. But she stopped. And I surmise, because it doesn't tell the story, but I surmise the reason why she stopped is because she didn't have the right person or persons to encourage her to say, hold on. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hold on, we're almost there. Let's not give up in the last hour. Let us begin to continue to do the work that God has called us to do. The problem is that, again, we're caught in time. Sister Florence was caught in time. All she knew was the amount of time that she had already put in. She didn't know how much time she had left. She didn't know where the end was. And she decided to quit before it was time. Levin, I'm encouraging you, do not give up. Do not stop doing what the Lord has called us to do. Let us not grow weary and well doing, for in due season we, didn't say you, didn't say me, it says we will reap. I keep saying that there's a body thing connected to this. We will reap if we do not. You see that? If we do not, it's not you. I can't let you stop. You shouldn't let me stop. We need to be encouraging each other. Let's keep moving forward so that we can do what God called us to do. The precept, sharing. The principle, what? Reaping what we sow. The promise is that God says we shall reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, one word, and then go here, but I'm going here. I added one more. You know, I got to put my own etching on here. There's a priority to this. And y'all see it in verse 10? I just add on to its piece. The priority is this. It says, so then, or therefore, as you have the time, as you have the opportunity, and we still have the time, and we still have the opportunity while we are above ground, amen? We still have that time. We have an opportunity now that we will not have when we're no longer here. But while we have, it says, again, didn't say me, didn't say you. It says what? Let us. There's a body thing. I'm going to keep saying it. It's a body thing. It said, let us do good to everyone, amen? No, we ought to be reaching outside these doors. We ought to be reaching outside our own household. We ought to be looking for folks who have never even heard about Christ. And don't think that's foreign these days, because you can talk to folks who are living in America who have no idea who Christ is. It's not like it used to be. That everybody kind of grew up in a household, and at least you knew what the church stood for. There are young folk today who don't know anything about Christ. Because they've never gotten in their household. They've never gotten it from TV. And they need to know about Jesus. So let us do good to everyone, but here's the priority. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. God is saying, let us take care of one another. He's saying, let us make sure that we're doing the right thing in the house. You know, my dad used to always say, let's take care of home first. You want to go out there and do something, but let's make sure home is all right first. Amen? Now, my dad, I don't know what my dad said, no, you ain't going out there until you take care of the house. We take care of home first. We make sure everybody was okay. Amen? He said, then we go out there collectively. We go out there together. We go out there in a oneness. And we change the world. Because they'll see something in us that they haven't seen outside. They'll see a harmony. They'll see a unity. They'll see a love. And when they see that love, they will know that what? We are truly his disciples. By how we love one another. And we do that by encouraging, don't give up. Hang in there. Amen. Amen. Somebody once told me, if you hang on a rope, tie a knot and hold on. Amen. Amen. Help is coming. Amen. God have not left us. Matter of fact, he's with us now more than he has been ever before. Letting us know he's protecting us. He's keeping us. Amen. By the power of his grace. Amen. So OBC, don't give up. Hang in there. And let us not go weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. I'm determined. How about you? Father, we thank you for that wonderful word. We thank you that we should not give up, that we need to hold on. Help us, oh God, to hold out until change is coming. We don't know where we are in time. All we know is we are in right now time. We don't know how much more time we have left, oh God, but while we yet have the opportunity, oh God, encourage our hearts, oh God, to continue to do good works, oh God, that people truly might see them. Glorify our Father who is in heaven. I ask for your blessings among everyone at the sound of my voice, oh God. Be it here in the sanctuary, be it on Zoom, be it on Facebook, oh God, wherever they might be right now. I pray, oh God, that you would let them know that you are real in their life and you want them, oh God, to move forward in the grace that you have afforded us on this day, that we might share this great gospel, the gospel that can save anybody, oh God, and bring them out of darkness into a marvelous light. Because God, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we could ask or think. And we know that you'll do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.